Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome once again to the Twin Steeples podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, joined again today by Pastor Neil Radical. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota, and our main goals are to share God's saving word and to communicate the ongoing activity of Christ's kingdom here at Emmanuel. Today is Wednesday, February 3rd. Blessings to you today, Pastor Radical.
And to you, Pastor Nauman. I just want to wish you a happy birthday today, and then we'll move on.
Thank you very much for keeping that brief. Today, Pastor Radical has a devotion he'd like to lead us through. Pastor?
Yeah, today is Psalm 34, verses 7 through 9. This is a Psalm of David. At this point in time in David's life, he was definitely dealing with his son Abimelech, he was before King Abimelech, and I was thinking Absalom, sorry. And so he was trying to drive him out of the area. And at this point in time, we think about all that David was going through about persecution from Saul and that he was fleeing for his life so often. And the whole point here of this psalm is to recognize the goodness of the Lord. So the psalm, we're looking at verses 7 through 9 of Psalm 34. It says, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There's no want to those who fear him." We've talked before about the angel of the Lord, and most of the time that's used in the Old Testament times, we're thinking of pre-incarnate Jesus, before he took on our flesh. And so the angel of the Lord encamping all around those who fear him is what we see in Old Testament times, whether it be in the period of the judges where the Lord fought for his people, or in the period of the kings where the Lord would fight for those who continue to be faithful to him and fight for those who continue to fear him. And that's the idea that we see here in this verse. The Lord delivers those who trust in him. And we can think of that in our own day in life where we look to the Lord for deliverance. He delivers us from sicknesses. He delivers us from sin and forgiveness for all of our sins. And ultimately, he delivers us through death itself. And so David, being through all these trials and tribulations and torments of this earthly life, had tasted and seen how the Lord was good to him, was watching over him and taking care of him and answering all of his prayers. And so David says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in him," because that man has peace in his heart, knowing the Lord's going to be with him. Doesn't mean life's going to be easy. In fact, like we talked about this last weekend, Jesus said, being a follower of the Lord, we have to carry our cross to follow him, and it's going to be a tough life. It's not going to be full of peace, but we are blessed because we know the Lord is going to be with us. And so we think of how we can rejoice that we are his saints. We are holy ones through the blood of Christ, not by works of ourselves. And that the Lord is going to help us to be content. There's no want to those who fear him, David says in the last verse 9. And so what a blessing it is to taste and see the Lord is good in the word, in the sacraments, and what the Lord causes by faith in our hearts and by faith in our day-to-day sanctified life for Christ, that we want to live to his glory. Please share your thoughts with me, Pastor Nauman.
Yeah, the end of that verse 9 reminds me of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And here we see David echoing that same theme. There is no want to those who fear him. You know, and you might look at that at first and kind of wonder what exactly he's talking about, but it basically means that there's nothing else we're going to need, you know, and that's a important thing to remember as we go through life, that, you know, God gives us everything that we need. We shall not be in want. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to have trials and tribulations. It doesn't mean there won't be famines and droughts. It doesn't mean that there won't be times of challenge in our lives. But God ultimately gives us everything we need, especially in the spiritual sense, because in the spiritual sense, he gives us that salvation, eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. And because of that, you know, because the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not be in want. Even if we starve to death, we're not in want. Even if we die of thirst, we are not in want, because God is delivering us through those means to himself in heaven. And because of that, we can have this, you know, this idea of this fear of the Lord can be challenging at first. But when we remember it's the fear of the great and mighty power of God, which has won salvation for us, and this awe that we have as we stand before him and his throne every time we come to church and every time we go to his word, this great awe we have for him, you know, it's this mighty power that he has that really gives us the comfort that we need. You know, there's that idea of the Lord encamping around us, gives us that protection that we need and the comfort that we need when we have these challenges in life. And, you know, just as a little child, when they're scared, goes to the arms of their mother or their father because they're stronger than they are. So too, we go to the arms of our Heavenly Father and see how He protects us from all danger.
Thank you very much. For a closing prayer, I'd like to read just a few verses from a communion hymn that I like to think of, and I think it's based on some of the psalm here. What is this bread from the Tan Supplement? We often sing that for communion. And I'm just going to read the non-communion verses here, more towards the end here, which focuses on the presence of the Lord and camping with us. Dear Lord Jesus, so who am I that I should live and He should die? Under the rod, my God, why have You not forsaken me? Oh, taste and see, the Lord is free. Yet is God here? Oh, yes, by word and promise clear. In mouth and soul, He makes us whole. Christ truly present in this meal? Oh, taste and see, the Lord is real. Is this for me? I am forgiven and set free. I do believe that I receive His very body and His blood. Oh, taste and see, the Lord is good. Amen.
As far as weekly updates and reminders this week, I just want to highlight a few things for you. Lent is beginning up on February 17th. That'll be 2 weeks from today. So that'll be Ash Wednesday. We'll be having a communion service. Our theme this year is Walking with Peter. We'll be taking a look at some of the events that took place during Holy Week, especially from Peter's perspective and some of the failures that he had that also certainly apply to our lives as we walk through our earthly life as well, but then also seeing how the Lord responded to those failures with Peter and enabled him and empowered him to become a great apostle and a messenger of God's word. As far as Bible classes go, once again, our Wednesday evening Bible class is postponed this evening. We'll be having another congregational fellowship discussion this evening in the sanctuary. You're welcome to join us in person for that, or you can also join us online. Once again, that link will be sent out. We are hoping to continue that study today and hopefully answer quite a few more of the questions that were brought up last week regarding the important, very important doctrine of church fellowship. As far as the Mark study, we'll see when we pick that up again. Not sure at this point, but we only have a couple more weeks, two more weeks, I guess, till Ash Wednesday. So that might be something I'll just have to pick up after Lent, I would imagine. This weekend, we continue our family Sunday school lessons. So we've been meeting together, young and old alike, in the sanctuary, both after service on Saturday evening at 7 p.m., also before service on Sunday morning at 9 a.m., to go through some Sunday school lessons that we learned when we were younger and perhaps we haven't taken a look at in a while, and answering some of the easier questions to challenge our younger children, listeners who are there, and also some more challenging questions applied to the same sections and kind of helping us to go through the steps of how would we teach a Sunday school lesson if we were called to do that or to do a study with some friends or family members as well.
We have the Lord's Supper this weekend too, so think about that and preparing your hearts for that. And also, along with those lines, if you're going to be watching online and you want to do pickup, we're going to be to pick up at Friday from 5 to 6 and Saturday from 11 to noon. Also at that point in time, Leif Olmundsen is going to be helping hand out mailboxes that contains envelopes and church statements. So pick up the communion pickups at the school door, and then I'll walkie-talkie over to Leif, and then when you drive around the corner, he'll come down the steps and give you your mailbox too. So we'll try to get you that stuff this weekend if you're picking up things for the weekend service.
Yeah, that's important because there's a lot of stuff in the mailboxes right now, especially those end of year tax statements from last year and envelopes for the coming year, and the church directory for 2021 is all in your mailbox. So if you're not getting into church at this point for in-person services, we'll try to get you those mailbox contents quickly as possible. As far as our voters meeting, we've concluded our voters meeting last Monday, but the president has called for another voters meeting coming up February 14th. So that's not this weekend, but the weekend after. The main goal of this meeting will be to call for, we have two vacancies on the school end of things that we need to fill at this point. So the goal would be to make two calls on Sunday, February 14th after church. So that'll be an immediately following service, 11 a.m. meeting. As far as our prayer list, once again, we continue to pray for Marie Meyer. That'd be the sister of Grace Schreier over in Red Wing, who's still dealing with cancer and cancer treatments. So we keep her in our prayers. We also pray for Carla Omenson's sister, Lori, who had surgery here about 2 weeks ago. She is now home and doing fairly well. So we thank the Lord for the blessings for her as well. Which brings us now to our doctrine of the day. Today we're going to talk, kind of begin our talk on the Lord's Supper. A lot to unpack here regarding this important sacrament. So is there anything in particular you want to start with today, Pastor Radical?
Yeah, why don't I make a statement about it, since this will be our first part of maybe two or so, and then you can kind of explain what you think people would say against that. So a lot of people say that, well, we would believe that the body and blood of Christ are present in the Lord's Supper. And lots of times we'll say in our circles that it's present in, with, and under the earthly elements. So that the bread and wine, we teach the doctrine of real presence, that it is bread and wine, but it's also, through the word of God, the body and blood of Christ. And so there's a number of scriptures that speak to that point. 1 Corinthians 11 talk about eating and drinking to your judgment, not discerning, not understanding the Lord's body. So what are some of the objections to that or accusations you've heard against that point, Pastor Nauman?
Well, I mean, if you trace your way back into before the Reformation of Martin Luther, the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church was what we call transubstantiation, which is a big, really long word, which basically just means transform. You can think of transformers or something where basically the priest does the words of consecration over the elements, and they teach and believe to this day that the bread and the wine transform physically into the true body and blood of Jesus, that it is no longer, even at a molecular level, it's no longer bread, it's no longer wine, it now is the body and blood of Christ. Every couple of years, I take the confirmation kids, at least I did this a couple of years ago, up to do a few different tours from some local churches, and we went up to St. Peter and Paul's here a couple of years ago, and as we went in there to get a tour from one of the elderly ladies there, she said, just so you know, the host is present today, which meant all the candles were lit, and there was a spot in the back where the bread and the wine, or the, you know, as they would say, the body and the blood from last communion, the leftovers from last week, were still there and still present. And so in Catholic doctrine, that means that the body, that Jesus is literally physically here right now in the flesh, and his body and blood is present in the bread and wine there. So what would happen is, you know, as she walked in, she did a sign of the cross as she walked by the host of Christ there. And that's to the Lutheran perspective, as you say, we teach the real presence. That's going beyond what God's word says to say that it actually physically transforms into his body and blood. We believe that, you know, and these are kind of the best words we have, because it's something that we can't truly understand, right? In, with, and under the bread and wine. It kind of sounds, you know, sounds nonsensical almost if you try to understand it, but we can't. We just trust that this is what God's word says, that it is his body and blood, and it is bread and wine. This bread is my body. This wine is my blood. It is his body. It is his blood. And that's, you know, so we'd say that the Catholic Church goes too far in proclaiming it is only his body and blood. And that's actually where the phrase, you've heard the phrase hocus pocus, refers to magic. And it actually comes from the words of consecration that the priest would speak, where he says, in the last two words he says was hokum pokum. And this came through cultural appropriation to mean this idea of this magically transforming into body and blood. And that's where this idea of magic came from. This hocus pocus phrase came from the words of institution, that hokum pokum became hocus pocus.
So that the priest has the power to transform.
Right. Yeah. So the priest speaks those words and it transforms the body or the bread and wine into the body and blood. Correct. And this kind of contrast, so that's the one extreme, would be transubstantiation, whereas the other extreme then would be kind of the Reformed manner of thinking about communion, which would be the teaching we would refer to as representation, that the body and blood only represent excuse me, the bread and the wine only represent the body and blood of Christ. It isn't truly, it's just a remembrance meal, you know, and that sounds kind of what Jesus, if you just look at it at the surface, you might think, well, Jesus can't literally mean that this is blood and this is body. And, you know, when you look at it, it still looks like a wafer and still tastes like wine. And so he can't actually mean it is his body and it is his blood. He must have meant something else. He must have meant, well, it represents, or must have meant it symbolizes. And after all, Jesus said, well, it's do this in remembrance of me. So it's simply something that we do to remember Jesus and what he did for us. How would you respond to someone making an argument like that, Pastor Radical?
Can you ask your question one more time and make sure I'm directing it?
Sure. So if I'm in the Reformed theology believe that Jesus said, this is my body, but clearly it's still a wafer. Jesus said, this is my blood, but clearly this is still wine. It tastes like wine. It looks like wine. And after all, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So it's simply a meal of remembrance rather than anything else and anything larger than that.
Well, there's two ways I think I would respond to that. First of all, I don't know how I can understand how Jesus can be fully God and fully man at the same time. And so I think it's very similar to this. Ulrich Zwingli, back in Luther's day, Luther would not fellowship with Ulrich Zwingli, which was a friend of his, because Zwingli basically had that idea that Jesus' physical body couldn't be present in all the Lord's Suppers from then on out. And so he was limiting what God can do. And I think that's the problem with our reason sometimes. It limits what God can and can't do. If Jesus promises that his body and blood are truly present with the word, in the same way that we say the washing of regeneration through the Holy Spirit's present in baptism, as we talked about in an earlier podcast, then we would trust what God blesses us with this word. As we said with our devotion, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Well, he's good because he makes himself, he assures us of that forgiveness through that gospel proclamation. It's not just a representation. He's assuring us that he loves us. He's assuring us that those sins have been paid for, and he's doing that in a tangible way that we can take and eat his body and blood in a miraculous way, like you said. And so that's usually how I describe it. It's not something we can fully understand, but it's as much as there as it is in the baptism. And it's a very personal way in making that gospel connection. And I think it's such a blessing that we can often look over and not really think about.
Yeah, one point I always like to make when talking about the idea of representation is, you know, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, this is my body. He said, this is my blood. And you know, in the Greek language, the copulative verb there, which just means the being verb is, this is my body. You don't have to say is in the Greek language. You can just say this, my body. And the word is implied in the Greek language. But Jesus went out of his way to put the word is in there. It's eston in the Greek. He said, this is my body. This is my blood. And, you know, there are words in the Greek language that mean represent. There are words in the Greek language that mean symbolize. And if Jesus wanted to use that word, he could have used that word. And so, frankly, it's very poor exegesis and very bad Bible reading to say, well, Jesus said is, which he didn't have to say, but actually he meant symbolize, or actually he meant representation. And actually, what Zwingli and Calvin and others did through this understanding of God's word is they actually completely made up a whole new method of hermeneutics, which is basically like how you understand studying the Bible, which was called the allegorical method, which means basically you can take whatever the person said and completely understand it in a completely different way, because they couldn't have possibly meant what they said, which is, you can't read any book that way. If you wrote a book, Neil, and said, you know, I love Aaron, you know, your wife, and I said, well, he says he loves Aaron, but, you know, look at all the stuff he did to Aaron. He can't actually mean I love Aaron. You know, that's taking someone else's words and completely changing the meaning. People would scoff at the idea of doing that to a human book. Well, how much more God's book, God's the Holy right. Scriptures, which he wrote for us and for our learning. You're going to take this important doctrine, this important means of grace, you know, the Lord's Supper that he gave to us, and you're going to put man's word on the same level as God's word, or man's reason on the same level as God's reason, and boy, you're going to get in a mess of trouble awful fast.
And we'll talk about this more next week too, but he also gives the warning that if you don't do this understanding the Lord's body and blood's there as well, you can take it to your judgment, or the seriousness of the repentance that's all involved with it, which is why we need more than one part. Now, you brought up the reformer, some of the reformers like Zwingli and Calvin. I think the hymn that you picked really fits well with that, because you have these other Christians who are adding or taking away from this very important, very clear doctrinal teaching. Would you like to do that hymn at this point?
Yeah, so this hymn, we sang it in church for communion in January, and I think it does an important job of, you know, communion is, it's very a joyful celebration of the Lord's Supper, but it's also, there's a solemn aspect to it. You know, that you are taking the body and blood of Christ that he gave and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. And what this hymn does, I believe that this hymn is entitled "Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence." And it kind of talks about how Jesus came to earth as a little baby, and how he gave his body and blood, and how he's giving himself for us, and how, you know, the angels in heaven themselves stand before him and in awe and glory and might, and how, you know, we have no right to be standing there on our own, but because of his great love and mercy, he comes to us tangibly in the Lord's Supper and touches us in our lives. So I'll read all four verses here. This is hymn 621 in the Lutheran service book, LSB. Let all mortal flesh keep silence and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God to earth descending, comes our homage to demand. King of kings, yet born of Mary, as of old on earth he stood, Lord of lords in human vesture, in the body and the blood. He will give to all the faithful his own self for heavenly food. Rank on rank, the host of heaven spreads its vanguard on the way, as the light of light descending from the realms of endless day, comes the powers of hell to vanquish as the darkness clears away. At his feet, the six winged seraph, cherubim with sleepless eye, veil their faces to the presence as with ceaseless voice they cry, Alleluia, 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 Lord Most High. Amen. Thank you for joining us on the Twin Steeples podcast today. Twin Steeples is once again a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. Until next time, may God bless and keep you. And may you always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.